Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome. Come on in, grab a seat. It's the last session of the day. It's exciting. There's beer after this. Gonna keep the energy levels up. Had 6 cups of coffee today so far, so I think we should be set. So welcome to our last session of the afternoon. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Charles Clark. Have any questions or any of that sort of stuff, you can find me on Twitter here. I'll leave that up. I noticed yesterday everybody was putting up Twitter addresses and then moving off before I could sort of take note of any, so I'll leave that up for a wee second. Just in case you're wondering where the accent's from, I am from the soon-to-be independent nation of Scotlandia, which is happening pretty soon. Yes, thank you very much. I was out at the Tech Live thing last night. I'm sort of standing there and I'm having a few beers and, you know, I got chatting to this guy. You know, he's a Kiwi. He says, where are you from? And I said, oh, I'm from, you know, Glasgow and all. Oh, right, oh, great, great, great. And he's asking me a couple of questions. So do you think Scotland will be independent? And I said, well, maybe, maybe. And I said, you know, it's going to be a big step. You know, the breakup of the United Kingdom. I mean, it's, you know, wow, it's history. You know, maybe, maybe. And he said, he was a taller guy. And everybody's taller than me. So he sort of looked down at me. He said, listen, can I ask you something seriously? And I looked up at him and I said, yes. And he said, do you believe in a Loch Ness monster? I was like, what? So I'm not really sure what bearing that has in Scottish independence, but perhaps he had somehow imagined that Nessie would sort of get the blue face paint on and go charging down to Westminster to declare Scotland independent. Anyway, so there we go. Perhaps we have Scottish independence. So the topic for my conversation today is monitoring, what did I call it again? Monitor virtualization and System Center 5 things you must know. There's bad news, ladies and gentlemen. I have more than 5 slides, just in case you were wondering. So we've got a bit of content that we're going to get through. Quite interactive in terms of demos and stuff like that. I'm not just going to put up slide after slide of performance counters and all that sort of stuff, because that's a wee bit dull. And where this presentation really sort of came from, the genesis of the idea, I guess, for this presentation. I work for Veeam Software. We are the guys with the green balls down across the way, if you're interested. But I work for Veeam, and I was seeing one of our customers in Australia actually, and they're using some of our technology. They're using System Center, and they said to me, Charles, you know, I've got a problem. I have a real problem sort of proving that I'm awesome. I said, what do you mean? I said, dude, of course you're awesome. What are you talking about? He says, the problem is that with our monitoring solutions, I'm constantly proving a negative. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, it's not on fire. It's still not on fire. So how do I take that and sort of make it look good to the boss? Because if my monitoring solution, if my proactive monitoring of my virtual environment is stopping stuff from going bad and from going red, for me, that's a great thing, but it really doesn't make me look like a rock star. So I was like, okay. Yeah, I sort of take your point there. You know, you don't sort of go into the boss and say, well, I deserve a raise because I got this alert and I did something with it really fast. That was awesome, right? So I was like, okay, let's think about this. So what we started thinking about is how that monitoring data, the proactive data, gets sort of presented back to the business and the other technical stakeholders within the business. So we started thinking about dashboarding and automation and all that sort of cool stuff that really does help him look totally awesome when he's managing his virtualization stack within his organization. And some of that sort of learnings from that sort of little thought experiment is what I wanted to share with you guys today. And it kind of sort of stems from the fact that he's tasked with getting these alerts and taking proactive action, but still providing that sort of high view. And it sort of made me think of this quote. I like this quote. You know, the left eye sort of looks through the telescope, gets this sort of big overarching view, and the right eye has to look through the microscope. So still, we need to be into the weeds. We need to really understand at a detailed level what's happening inside the virtual environment but still being able to put our hands on that overarching vision of where hotspots are and capacity and all that sort of stuff. So with that in mind, my objectives for the session were pretty simple. I want to help all of you guys appear awesome to your boss, right? So that's sort of objective number one. And by doing that, you know, or the way that I'm going to do that is help you understand some of the useful metrics in monitoring virtual environments. I want to help you get the best from System Center, and I'll show you a couple of little sort of tools and tips and all that stuff that we can use in System Center to do that. and give you other wee tips, what I call my wee tips bracket. And it's great, actually. I love coming to New Zealand because I can use wee and not feel like a complete sort of idiot. When I do this presentation in the US, I say other wee tips. Everyone goes, hey, Dan, he said wee. That's awesome, man. I love this guy, you know. So I don't feel quite so sort of, I guess, not quite the stereotype. Should have had my kilt and my red beard on. Anyway, so some other wee tips as well that we'll put in there. So my agenda is really straightforward. We'll talk a wee bit about System Center and why would you use System Center for monitoring virtualization? Why wouldn't I use, you know, vCenter or, you know, I've got VMM maybe. Well, you know, why bother with something like Operations Manager for doing that monitoring? So a quick sort of tour through that. And then I want to get into those five things, those five key concepts. And there's lots of sort of sub-concepts, but five key concepts you have to bear in mind when you're monitoring your virtual environments. So the first thing that I wanted to touch on is, you know, what are some of the monitoring options for virtualization? And this is kind of straightforward. So I'm not sort of going to risk, well, you might want to do this, you might do that. What I'll sort of tell you is what's sort of good and bad about each of these as I see it. So let's think about the VMware platform first of all. Most of the people, most of the VMware sort of admins and people that we talk to monitor their VMware environment using vCenter. It's common, right? In fact, if I was through it, and I won't, because now that I'm sort of prefacing this, no one's going to put their hand up, but I would bet that there's a fair portion of the audience here today monitor their VMware environment using vCenter, right? Don't, I guess, is my single piece of advice. And there's a number of reasons why. First of all, vCenter is not a monitoring tool, right? It's a management tool. And it's good at managing VMware stuff, you know, vSphere and all that sort of stuff. It's great at it. And it's a decent hypervisor platform. I don't say that too loud. But it's a decent hypervisor platform. But what it's not is a monitoring and reporting tool. And the sort of database and where all those stats get munged and reported on is the same database that is managing the vSphere environment. And so all that stuff that the vSphere environment has to do from a management standpoint, like vMotions and guest interaction tickets to call, you know, to do quiescence and manage change log tracking and deliver all the information around the vSphere environment, all is munged in the same database. And then I'm going to run a report, show me 6 months worth of, you know, data, you know, IOPS data for this particular data store. And the database goes and churns away and all that other stuff sort of queues up and it can slow down operations. Now, as I said, I work for Veeam Software. We're sort of famous for having a backup and replication tool set, right, that runs on VMware. We're often called the best tool ever for discovering IOPS bottlenecks and environments because we will hit that VMware environment hard when we're trying to do backups or trying to do replications. So we see these sort of issues fairly regularly when people use vCenter and you find the massive monster vCenter database and it's like, what? How did this get so big? How come this is so slow? Oh, well, we use that for reporting as well. We run like hourly reports out of it. I'm like, okay. So, vCenter, awesome, not for monitoring or reporting. An agent inside the virtual machine is another pretty common approach. And for some of you that may be using System Center already, it's maybe what you're doing now with Ops Manager. You pop an agent inside the VM, and it sort of, you know, munges away, gives you information back. That's great. The only sort of problem with that approach, of course, is that it's got blinkers. All it's looking at is what it's standing on. It has no real sort of cognizance. It's kind of the point of virtualization, right? It's got no real sort of cognizance of what's happening around it. The other VMs are in the same resource pool, on the same host, using the same data stores they're contending with for IOPS, causing latency. You know, this VM does this, and this VM sort of slows down. Nobody knows why. So the agent inside the VM is great, but again, quite blinkered. If you're using SNMP and syslog to monitor your VMware environment, we should probably have a talk sort of afterwards. They are viable. They're not really viable. I mean, we do see some organizations that use syslog in particular, which is very chatty, for example, on VMware. If you log in to a VM and you have logging set on for that, I think that's 19. Actually, no, start powering on a VM is 19 different syslog entries, right, to power on a VM. So yeah, sort of understanding that and putting that into usable data, really quite difficult. So if you're not going to use vCenter, the most common way to do VMware monitoring is by using the web API, the vSphere API that VMware published, which is great. You know, and Veeam used that for some of our monitoring tools. Actually, you know, other tools like vCenter Operations uses the vSphere API. So really, when you're interrogating VMware, that's probably the best way to get information out of it. So when it comes to Hyper-V, the sort of landscape looks kind of similar. One sort of key difference, I suppose. We have VMM, Virtual Machine Manager. Similar to vCenter, not a monitoring and reporting solution. It's a management solution. And well, again, we'll go in and talk to customers that they've got this sort of VMM set up, and they're kind of like, okay, and it's a couple of nice little dashboards, a couple of nice little graphs. But really, if you're looking for that sort of deeper analysis, kind of doesn't cut the mustard inside VMM. Agent in the VM, SNMP, local tools, which are okay, we'll talk about them in a bit more detail in just a wee bit. But it, obviously no scalability, sort of no real distribution that can happen there. So that kind of leads us nicely, see what I did there, into System Center Operations Manager. So SCOM, we know, goes for the sort of agent in the VM approach, but SCOM also has the ability to sort of take the blinkers off and sort of broaden its vision and get that visibility across the virtual environments. And that's what we're going to talk about. So why would you use SCOM? Just kind of break down. For those of you who haven't, sort of don't understand how SCOM sort of fits together, you know, I built this slide, I don't know, it was like 4 years ago. It's probably showing its age now. But there's one thing on it that I really, really like. And that's this wee part here. Management packs and how important management packs are. You see, SCOM's a big dummy, right? It sort of sits together like that. There's actually a couple of databases. There's an application layer and there's sort of a presentation layer, basically the console and stuff that I'll show you. But SCOM's a big dummy. It's just kind of like, give me information, but it doesn't really know what to do with it. So the information all sort of goes there and it sort of sits there and doesn't really do anything. So what management packs do is effectively they inject SCOM with intelligence. They make SCOM smart. I wish I had a management pack. I wish I could speak French, especially with the girl that works in the cafe downstairs who was French. It was awesome. I wish I could inject French, you know, suddenly the language into my brain. But I can't do that, right? But thankfully, SCOM can, and that's what management packs do. They provide you with a set of rules and views, interfaces into the Ops Manager database to understand the data that is being presented back to SCOM. In fact, it'll even filter what data actually comes back from SCOM, so you're not sort of blowing out databases and all that sort of stuff. It lends itself to scalability. The other nice thing about SCOM is that if I've got these management packs and they're going to give me intelligence about what I'm monitoring, I have to think about what I'm monitoring and who has got the best intelligence about that, right? So if predominantly the workloads that are running inside my virtual environment are Microsoft-based, and I'm going to guess they probably are, right, with the audience that we've got at TechEd, you know, if they're Microsoft-based, then who is sort of best positioned to understand how those applications work? You know, what are the internals like? What's important? What do I really need to know about those applications? Well, it's probably going to be Microsoft. And so the management packs that Microsoft make for their own products inject that intelligence from the Microsoft dev teams into SCOM. And there are other third parties, of which Veeam's one, that sort of enhance that and add to that. But really, it's about getting that good intelligence into Ops Manager so that you get that sort of full stack view. You have the ability with Ops Manager to do that sort of apps to metal monitoring and, you know, makes it easy to find root cause and all that stuff. We'll talk about that. So, next up, what I want to do is introduce you to some free stuff. Because I'm Scottish, I don't want to pay for anything, right, like ever. So if you want to buy me a drink, more than happy. But I want to introduce you to a couple of free things, and I'm going to use these for some of the demos, so I just want to show you what they are first. So the first of these is... they're both from Veeam Software, veeam.com/free. I'm not going to ask you to pay for them. I'm selling you anything. You'll pay for anything, right? veeam.com/free. And this is the sort of first thing. So what Veeam did in July of this year is they released a dedicated management pack for Hyper-V. You don't need to install anything on Hyper-V. You don't need to do anything with your Hyper-V host special. It's just a management pack that goes into SCOM, but it gives you some pretty cool capability, which I'm going to use in the demos, for monitoring Hyper-V. So what Veeam are doing now, because we, you know, Veeam and Microsoft, we all sort of get together in the hot tub together. What Veeam and Microsoft are doing now is we're sort of giving this away, basically, as a kind of limited time offer, up till the end of the year, actually. So if you have Hyper-V, and you have System Center, or you're thinking about System Center, get this now, because it's free. Did I mention it was free? It's free. The other thing that we're doing, which is free and will be free sort of in perpetuity, is this thing, which is Veeam Task Manager for Hyper-V. This isn't necessarily part of System Center, but it's another free utility, and I'm going to use this to demonstrate sort of how, sort of more, you know why some monitoring stats are more accurate than others when you're thinking about Hyper-V as a virtualization platform. So I'm going to use these two tools plus System Center through my demo today, just so you don't think, how does he act? I haven't seen the button for that in System Center. This is where they come from. All right. So let's get to our top five. Our five key things you have to know if you want to monitor virtualization. Five things you must know. So thing number one, and they're in no particular order, but thing number one for me is probably the most important, and it's the most important thing with any monitoring solution. And that is, can anyone guess? Everyone's like, oh my God, it's so exciting. Discovery, that's a good one. But for me, the most important thing in any monitoring solution is context. What does it mean? So the most important thing for me is having the ability to join the dots between the physical, the virtual, the applications, everything that's living together, everything that's sharing resources, particularly in a virtualization environment. Let's join the dots and bring these things together. So you need to be able to build out maps to track dependencies, to track relationships, and then track those based on host state. And there's a few things that sort of make up that stack. Obviously, it's things like applications and operating system, but VMs, host storage, network, hardware. We want to understand the performance status. We want to understand the availability state of those resources as well. Let me give you a wee, and all of this actually sort of gets exposed inside XML, and then Ops Manager has a fist at drawing it out for you. So let me give you a couple of examples here. So this is my Operations Manager lab. This is sitting in, where is this, Sydney? And as I mentioned earlier on, I was talking about that, the management pack free thing. So there it is there, Veeam for Hyper-V. And what this management pack does, just by way of an example, is it will draw out a topology. So it does a discovery. So discovery is very important. So it will go and talk to your Hyper-V host, and it will discover the host and the storage and VMM and all the other sort of bits that relate to that. And then it will pull back those components and compile them into XML. What it then does, which is kind of nice, is it figures out the virtual machines that are running on those hosts, figures out the ones that have the Ops Manager agent already installed in them. So remember, agent-based and then virtualization-based, and then joins them together. So I'm not looking just at applications or just at operating system, but I'm looking at them in the context of the rest of the virtualization stack. So for example, if I just drop that down, take a wee look at sort of EUHV01. This is one of my Hyper-V hosts here. So I can see all the virtual machines with their health state that reside on EUHV01. And inside there, I can look at a specific virtual machine that I know, in this case, I know this has got the Ops Manager agent deployed onto it. And I can see under there the operating system health state and the health state for all the applications that live inside that. So this has got, a couple of different processes and services and all that sort of stuff. Now, this information I'm actually pulling from the native Windows OS management pack. So it's sort of we're daisy chaining those things together. And that was an automated process. I didn't have to build that. I'll show you one that I built in a minute. The other thing that's kind of cool, of course, is you can use my favorite, I'm probably going to say my favorite button inside Ops Manager. I have a top five. My favorite button inside Ops Manager, which is problem path resolution. So I can just click something that looks red, and this is the why is it red button, right? So I can look at this host, EUHV02. Let me just zoom in there a wee bit, because I don't think we issued Opera glasses. So I can sort of zoom into EUHV02, and I can see the sort of elements within EUHV02 that are red. So I can see, that replica's red. I can see, other sort of virtual machines are red. And if I want to figure out why, well, I just do that using regular SCOM tools, right? So I can open an alert view or my Health Explorer, which is my favorite. And you can see that this is red because it has a power state that it's not expecting. It's been powered off for a long time, that virtual machine, but it's still there. So we're saying, hey, you might want to look at this. So that's pretty cool. So you know, natively we're kind of capturing those applications, but of course, you know, we have multi-tiered applications that live on our virtualization stack. So how do we sort of capture those? So with Ops Manager, we have the ability to create distributed applications, so multi-tiered applications. So, you know, that capability has been in the product for a little while now, a couple of years now. But when I'm building a distributed app, I can just add virtualization components onto that and have all that roll up into a state view. So, for example, if I go into, yeah, there we go. So here, this is just a management pipe that I've created, Veeam Distributed Apps demo. And here's the sort of Veeam application. So there I've got an application, a sample application I built that's running on Hyper-V. And I just created, using authoring mode here, a distributed application for this. And again, sort of same thing. You know, I can draw that out into a map. I get a nice graphical representation of how those bits fit together. There's a fair amount of components inside this application. And I get all that sort of bubbled up. So I get my nice sort of all is well with the application view. And then down underneath that, I can sort of drill in and see if there are particular, you know, if something goes red or something's at a warning state, I can see why that is. So here, you know, this application, the components for it are on a single Hyper-V host. So I've got this single Hyper-V host, and then, you know, I can, again, just using Health Explorer, you know, figure out why that's in a warning state. So what we're doing here is using the native capabilities within Operations Manager to join those dots and get some all-important context for why one VM might be impacted on a host. And maybe that VM's healthy, but maybe all the other VMs are in an error state, and this will start to give us clues to help us troubleshoot and facilitate root cause analysis. So in this guy, we're looking at, memory utilization. Cool. Okay, so the second key concept that I want to touch on is visualize key metrics. I'm going to break this into a number of different demos, actually. It's visualize key metrics. Talk about a few key metrics. I'm not going to list sort of, you know, logical processor objects and all that sort of stuff. So again, I mean, really, you know, I was talking about the sort of dude I was speaking to when in my little sort of anecdote at the beginning of the session. I was saying, you know, help me look awesome, you know, and visualization was really a key part of that. So visualizing as you virtualize, because of the flexibility and the dynamism inherent in a virtual environment, having something that gives you that sort of overarching view really makes a lot of sense. So having a way to visualize that in a way that makes sense to the business is pretty powerful. So let me talk through a couple of examples and a couple of little tools. And when I was talking about the wee tips, we're into the wee tips section of the presentation now. First one of these is networking. So, I mean, there's a few things that we could talk about in there. A few sort of, this is for reference. You guys will get a copy of the deck afterwards. But I just wanted to pop this up there for reference and some sort of ideas of what's healthy and what's not healthy. There's a couple of things to pull out from this, a couple of examples. So the first of these is path ping. Now, path ping is one of those things that, I mean, I've been in the IT industry now for like 21 years. I know, hard to believe, I know. But I've been in the IT industry for quite a long time, and path ping was a thing I only found out like 3 years ago, and I was like, when did that get invented? And they're like, oh, that's been in there forever. It's like, wow, so what does that do? Has everyone heard of path? Am I the only guy that had never heard of path ping? Is this the... So what path ping basically does, a cool little utility, and what it basically does is it shows you packet loss. So it's kind of like trace route and ping with an analysis of packet loss as it's traversing around routers. So let me give you an example. And I'll just do a really simple one actually here, sort of locally. We'll stay out of the demo lab for this. So Tasmania, if anyone's interested. So here, for example, I'm just going to do a path ping for azure.com. What that dash p parameter does is kind of set the period for how long I want to wait to see where we lose packets. And I might just sort of kick that off. You'll see what it's going to use ICMP, and what it's going to do is it's going to go out and say, okay, there's my, you know, Charles's surface at TechEd, and it's going to head off, and it goes, sort of routes its way around the internet. Here we go. This is all very exciting. Oh, and there's something happened. there's stars. What does that mean? Well, we'll see, right? And so what it's going to do is sort of compute the statistics for the remaining 27 seconds on top of the three that it had already taken. And what it gives me is a nice sort of little output that tells me sort of where I've lost packets. And what we'll probably see, at least it was happening in the speaker room, is that there's a particular router that I'm trying to get through that I can't get through, and so I'm having to go to a different gateway to get out there, which is what's going to like, oh, okay. So if I'm inside my environment, right, and I'm wanting to figure out, well, you know, what's up? Where am I dropping packets? Pathping's not a bad way to do that. There we go. And up it pops. So there's all the hops. And as we drill down, yeah, see, there you go. So on one of the gateways that I was trying to route through there, it looks like we had 100% packet loss, so we had to find another way to get there. It's kind of useful. Now, the question kind of is, well, what does that have to do? What does that have to do with Ops Manager? But of course, in Ops Manager, you know, I can create that as a task. So I recorded this demo just because it speeds up. It's sped up to create the task. But I can just create that as a command line task inside Ops Manager, like this. I just dropped it in the other tools. And this is me doing this, in case you're thinking, you stole that video from somewhere. No, I recorded it. And I'm just going to call it PathPing, and I can write a wee story about it. I'm targeting this at Windows computers, and I can actually specify different source and target. So if I have a, you know, something that I want to be the source of my PathPing, I can do that. There's parameters for that. This is just a really simple one. And I'm going to run, if you're looking for PathPing, incidentally, it's inside System32. And I'm going to target at the principal name that I select inside the Ops Manager interface. And I click Create, and that's it. So now when I go back into the monitoring console, and I go into, I'll just use Windows computers here, and I look at tasks, you know, I'll pick something. And there's my new task for PathPing that I just added. So I can go ahead and PathPing, right? That's kind of a useful thing. That's one of those wee tips, sort of useful thing to stick into your Ops Manager tool belt, and off it goes, and you sort of, you saw where that one ends up, right? So that's kind of nice. That was that quick demo. So another wee thing, just kind of on the sort of wee tips, is just talking about enlightenment. I guess we're talking really about Hyper-V here and the sort of concept of enlightened operating systems. I mentioned earlier that the whole idea of virtualization is that the operating system really doesn't know it's virtualized. And kind of that was true. So what happened is that when you virtualize a Windows operating system on Hyper-V, or on VMware as well, actually, it kind of, you know, there's a bunch of emulated drivers and all that sort of stuff that ends up getting dropped in there. So what Microsoft have done with certain, with sort of the latest and greatest operating systems that can be virtualized, is they've introduced the concept of enlightenment, and they've introduced the concept of Generation 2 virtual machines, and we'll talk about them in a wee minute. But what that basically means is that the device emulation that had to be done to get the virtual machine to sort of talk to the hardware that it was expecting to be there goes away. I mean, if you're installing Windows 2012 R2 as a virtual machine, do you really need a COM port? Probably not. When was the last time you used a PS2 mouse? It's probably been a while, right? Actually, COM port mice were where I started out in. So all of that stuff we can sort of scoop out. In fact, if you're installing a Generation 2 virtual machine, none of that stuff, you know, is available. So what does it mean? Does it make it run faster? Actually, no, it doesn't. But what it does is it makes it install faster, so that's a good thing. And importantly, it makes it boot faster, because it doesn't have to deal with all those emulated device drivers as it's starting up. So go for enlightened operating systems. They do improve I/O compared to device emulation, particularly around that sort of installation and boot time. So I'm going to talk a little bit about sort of processor now and give you a couple of sort of demos relating to CPU utilization. So yeah, Hyper-V sort of CPU monitoring is kind of a tricky thing, because there's a particular counter that you need to be aware of if you do want to monitor Hyper-V, and I'll sort of show you that in a wee second. And these values down here in the box relate to VMware counters and general guidance in terms of keeping CPU ready and co-stop low. But I guess one question, you know, and normally if somebody said to you, what's the processor utilization on a system, what would you do, right? I mean, if it was me, I'd probably open Task Manager. I mean, we could sit there and say, I'll open operations manager console. I mean, so, you know, you might. But probably task manager is the kind of first thing, you know, that people reach for, in my experience, working with Windows administrators. The thing is, with a Hyper-V host, task manager doesn't really work. And why is that? It's because the Hyper-V host in itself is a virtual machine. Now, it's kind of a fancy virtual machine, right? And it does some cool stuff around I/O and sort of memory allocation and all that sort of stuff. But essentially, when you enable that Hyper-V role, the operating system sort of jumps up, makes itself a virtual machine inside a root partition or parent partition, and the other VMs stand up as child partitions, right? So what that means is if I run Task Manager on the Hyper-V host, I'm really just running it inside that virtual machine, and I'm not getting visibility over the entire stack and all the other VMs that are running. So, you know, what does that mean? And, you know, can you prove it? I think I can prove it. So here we've got my Hyper-V host. This is just one of the Hyper-V hosts that we have that I've got over in Sydney. So there's my CPU, and everything's, you know, ticking along. And you can see even here, I mean, there's not really, you know, if I go into processes and services, I mean, there's nothing there that really sort of points towards the virtual machines that I'm looking at, not under resource monitor as well. So just look at my CPU there. You can see that the host is ticking along. Doesn't really seem to be doing anything. Now, I've got a virtual machine which lives on that host. And his name is EUServe09. We'll call him the victim for the purposes of the demo. And what I'm going to do on the victim is I'm just going to sort of max out the CPUs, right? So this guy, this is a VM running on that host. And if I open this, there we go. I'm just going to max out those CPUs. Max, go. Boom. Okay, so now CPU utilization on this guy is up to 100. What's happening on my Hyper-V host? Is it eating all my resources? What's going on? Remember I was saying context is key, right? So if I go back to my Hyper-V host. He's ticking along. He doesn't really think anything's happening. Everything's tickety-boo. But meanwhile, the fires are raging inside Servo9. So this guy doesn't really have any sort of indication of that. So, free tool, free download, veeam.com/free is this guy here, Task Manager for Hyper-V. And what this does is it gives me a slightly more accurate view, not only of the virtual machines that are running on that host, so I can see that Servo9 had that spike there, and it's gone up to sort of 16% of the host CPU, CPU utilization. We're going to talk more about that, some cool concepts to talk about there. And I can see the load that that's putting against the host. It's still pretty negligible, but I get an accurate view, both for memory, actually, and for CPU, of what's happening inside the host. So if I go back to Servo9, because I really don't want to kill Servo9, and I just exit that, and sort of CPU will drop back down. You can see, yeah, there we go. So it's sort of tailed off again. So Task Manager for Hyper-V is kind of a good way if you are sort of, well, you know, is that, oh my God, what's happening there? Why is everything slow? What's, you know, which VM is slowing down my host? It's kind of a really rough, easy, and most importantly, free way to sort of figure that out without sort of tracking different objects inside Perfmon, which is another way to do it. But I don't know, I like this, it's free. So that's kind of nice. Now, another wee concept that I just want to talk about. Actually, let's talk about a couple of other sort of tips. I've just popped this in there just because I was like, what else can I talk about? Another couple of wee tips just to sort of touch on here. Some common sense stuff. The Generation 2 VMs I've kind of already spoken about. You know, removing emulated device drivers is always a good idea on unused devices. One interesting tip that's quite that I was kind of like, oh, that's quite interesting, is a Hyper-V manager. So you guys have maybe used Hyper-V manager. And it's a good idea to close Hyper-V Manager like everywhere and kind of generally speaking not use it. I mean, it's fine, but what we find is people leave it open. And what Hyper-V Manager does is it does that little sort of preview window down in the bottom half. You ever used Hyper-V Manager? It does a preview window of what's happening inside the VM that you've selected in the details pane. And that takes CPU cycles. It constantly has to be updated. Hyper-V manager's constantly polling. Can you give me a screenshot? Let me pull that back. And all of that puts load on the Hyper-V host. So it's kind of an easy way to save, you know, one or two CPU cycles. So close it down. All right. I don't really have a slide, but I'm just going to talk about this and sort of talk about this as a concept, and you'll see in the demo exactly what I'm talking about. But so one of the key challenges that we have in virtualization is I've got a running virtual machine, and it's hosting an application for me, and it's awesome, and it needs more resources. Okay, no problem. Virtualization, I'll just add stuff in. Yeah, but it needs more resources, and I can't power down the virtual machine. So what I want to be able to do is hot add stuff to the VM. You know, use hardware hot add and all that. But I want to be able to hot add stuff to the VM. Hyper-V has a really nice way of letting you do that for CPU. If you imagine, when you provision a virtual machine, let's say you give it four processors, and imagine that that's like a cardboard box, right? So I've got that cardboard box, and the sort of processing for the VM bounces around inside that cardboard box. Can't go outside the cardboard box. Bounces around, right? I have the ability to put, with Hyper-V, I'll show you how you set all this up. It doesn't require an actual cardboard box. This is a cardboard box of the imagination, okay? So it allows you to put another cardboard box inside that dynamically, without powering down the virtual machine, you can shrink and expand. So if I provision the virtual machine in the first place with a bigger cardboard box, and thanks to the way Hyper-V does scheduling, there's no penalty on the host for that, incidentally, I can then shrink and expand the internal cardboard box dynamically based on the requirements of the workload. Magical hot add CPU, as I call it. It's a pretty cool feature. I'll show you. You're all looking at me like, what the? I'll show you. All righty, so let's have a wee look. I'm going to use sort of VMM for this. So, there's Orchestrator. I'll come to that in a wee sec. So I've got that guy, remember, AU Servo 9, the victim, as we're calling him. And here he is running on my Hyper-V host, AUHV01. And if I take a look at hardware configuration, now this guy's running. I'm not going to shut down this box at all for this demo. So he's got four CPUs. I can't change that because he's up and running, right? But one of the nice things that Hyper-V lets you do is assign a CPU priority. And one of those priorities is a limit for the number of CPU cycles. So right now, this guy's got provision for him four times, 2.2 gigahertz processors, let's say. But what I can do is change this and make it less. So I'll show you. If I go into Servo 9, right, here he is. We've seen him before. Let's max out the CPUs just so you can see those kind of absolute values. That's kind of cool. We'll max those out. Nice. There we go. So maxed out. So we know that, that happens, and we know that we get the CPU utilization on the Hyper-V host up at around that sort of 16.8% mark for EU Servo 9. You see that there? All right, so that's how much he's actually eating. So what happens if I set this to be 50%? I'm not powering off the VM, right? I'm just going to set this to be 50%. And I click OK. Now, that's going to update. I'll just show you this, open that back up. This is another sort of telling statistic in here. I'm going to let that update. Boom, boom, boom. Come on. There we go. Thank you. And so I can have a wee look down at the CPU priority. And you can see that the percentage of total system resources is now limited to a top of 2%. It was 4% before. It's now limited to a top of 2%. And of course, on my Hyper-V host, inside Hyper-V Task Manager, I can see that that utilization has been forced down to be 8.4%, and the load that's put against the hypervisor host is now less. That's pretty cool, right? So I can provision a virtual machine bigger than I need it, ratchet it back based on policy, and then I've got the overhead to dynamically and magically sort of hot add CPU power for that virtual machine when it needs it. So when might it need it? Well, as I mentioned, VMDoo backup software, the stuff that eats the data from the storage is kind of, you know, can be quite resource intensive. We see CPU spikes. So it could be on a schedule, let's say, during my backup window, I want to hot add CPU to, you know, proxies or machines that are processing the backup jobs. Or I could even do it based on alerts. So let's have a wee look how we could do that based on alerts. Again, I'm just going to dive back into System Center here. So this is set to 50%. We know that's going along. Now, I've actually pre-configured a threshold, so I'm probably going to get an alert inside System Center that says, hey, this guy's, you know, breached a threshold, 60% CPU utilization for EU Servo 9. You know, just that usual sort of alerting stuff. So what I've done is I've used probably my favorite toy, right, which is Orchestrator. I spend more time in Orchestrator than I do on my Xbox. I just love this thing, playing with this and figuring out what I can do. And what I've done here is I've built a little runbook. And believe me, if I can build a runbook in Orchestrator, anybody can build a runbook in Orchestrator. Super gooey, super easy. What this does is it looks for the alert inside System Center. It checks the schedule, because I don't just want to like throw at CPU and, you know, in the middle of the day. I want to do that when I think it's safe to do it. So I'm checking to check, make sure that it's out of hours. It's a safe time to do it. Get VM ID is kind of a sort of plumbing thing, so I need an ID to be able to update the VM, and then I'll go and change that value, right? I'll take that CPU sort of limiter, and I'll throttle it up to be the, you know, 100%, and then I want to tell Ops Manager about it. So let's have a look. Let's see if we can get it to work. All right. So I'm going to exit that, and I'll just run it again just to make sure we're going to get an alert inside the Ops Manager database. So let's do 1, 2, 3, 4. And what I want to do is just kick off this runbook. So I'll just use the runbook tester for this. So there it is. And I'm just going to say run. OK. Now, I think the alert might already be in there. So this is looking for the alert inside Ops Manager. And if I go on to the EU Servo 9, let's just max them again, see if we can force that alert. Now, I've actually configured the alert monitor to only look for new alerts. So if there's already an alert in there, it might not work. But the whole idea is that that runbook will then kick in, reprovision the virtual machine, and bump the CPUs from 2 up to 4 without having to shut down the virtual machine. That's the whole idea. Let's see. Ah, dang. I do actually have a recorded sort of version of it. Because, as I said, it's based on kind of a new alert, looking for a new alert. Let me see if I can just pull that up for you. There we go. Boom, boom, boom. So I'll step through this. This one's a bit sort of sped up anyway. So there's Servo 9. It's exactly what you saw me do. It's got 4 CPUs. I set that limitation. I max out the CPUs. I use a different CPU stress tool, that's all. That's really the only difference in the demo here. And off it goes, and come on, get it up towards 100, cool. And that's it, done. So you can see that that's up at the 16.8%, just as I showed you earlier on. And I'll drop that down to 50, which is just what we saw. All right, sweet. And there it is, down to 8%. We saw that bit already. Yeah, and I turned it off at that point. So it's dropped back down to 3%. Okay. And this one, I added the schedule thing a little bit later on. And this is the value inside Orchestrator I'm updating, is that CPU max percentage value. So I'm changing it from 50% up to 100% if the VM asks for it, and if the timing is right. So you can see that right now, this is the kind of nothing up the sleeves part of the demo, that's set to 50%. Okay, cool. So now I'm going to go to the runbook tester and kick it off. And off it goes. And again, this is watching for the alert inside Ops Manager. So I need to generate the alert. So how do I do that? I max out the CPUs. and off it goes. I actually missed the middle thread there, which is why it doesn't get up to 100. So it gets up to 74, but that breaks the threshold. That's okay. And when I look inside my run book, hey, the alert must have come in because the run book has now started processing. It started running through. So it's updating the VM, and the last thing that it's doing there is creating the alert and dropping it inside Operations Manager. So once that task completes, which it does, I can then have a wee look inside Operations Manager. And, oh, well, there's an alert there that's less than a minute old, CPU allocation dynamically updated. And I can see the AU Servo 9 has had its allocation set to 100, so I created that alert. I put in the text for that alert. And when I have a look in the hardware configuration, the CPU has been dynamically set to 100%, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, that's pretty cool, right? So it sort of gives you an idea of using Ops Manager, your sort of understanding of virtualization and orchestrator to do sort of self-remediation. And then, of course, I could have a scheduled event that, you know, in the morning, after when my backup window's finished or my antivirus scans have finished, take all that CPU back. Don't let it use that CPU anymore. Just roll it back. And I could build that in as an orchestrator workflow as well. Cool. So kind of an interesting, you know, sort of way to think about how to deal with CPUs in your virtual environment. A couple of pointers on memory. Of course, Hyper-V is the dynamic memory, which is an awesome concept. I mean, VMware sort of does that as well now, but an awesome concept. One of the nice things that I like about dynamic memory and Hyper-V, though, is that you can sort of fairly safely over-provision, just like you saw when you do with CPU, fairly safely over-provision, and Hyper-V does a pretty good job of giving you it back, right? It depends on the applications running inside there, but it does a pretty good job of giving you it back. So a good idea when you're provisioning Hyper-V VMs is to say, well, I'm going to give you 4 gigs of RAM, even though you're not going to use it, but I'm going to give you 4 gigs of RAM. It means the operating system is going to install with 4 gigs of RAM. Applications will install with 4 gigs of RAM, so you get sort of over application requirements. And then as it runs, Hyper-V will say, well, you know, you're only using like 512 or, you know, 700 megs of RAM, whatever, and it will sort of give that back to the host and sort of slowly pare down. So we see, you know, in our environments, we build VMs, a couple of gigs of RAM, but rarely do they run using a couple of gigs of RAM, depends on the application. And Hyper-V is pretty generous in terms of giving us that resource back so that we can build more virtual machines. One little sort of pointer as well in terms of wee tips is the sort of concept of NUMA, NUMA spanning, and local NUMA and foreign NUMA. There's non-uniform memory access. I kind of read a lot of stuff on this. And it was all sort of conflicting and confusing. I was like, what the hell does any of this mean? But I sort of boiled it down to a couple of sort of truisms. So basically, you know, with NUMA, you're dealing with virtual NUMA, dealing with a VM that can address, and a processor that can address a particular NUMA node, memory node. If the resources that VM is going to use will span more than the NUMA node that it's assigned to, which it can with dynamic memory, of course, because it could expand across the local NUMA node to a foreign NUMA node, then that can impact application performance. It can slow it down. So if you've got a NUMA-aware application like SQL, and SQL is going to be a massive memory hog, and dynamic memory is going to expand across multiple NUMA nodes, then it can slow down the operation of SQL. So just don't give that box dynamic memory, assign it memory. It's pretty straightforward. We can talk about that sort of over a beer if you really want to get into the guts of it. But I thought it was an interesting little tip. From storage perspective, think about disk space. I mean, having, you know, sort of at least 100 megs of disk space so that you can support things like checkpoints and snapshots for VMware, actually. Yeah, VMware snapshotting, if you've got less than 100 megs of disk space on a data store, is really interesting. Try that out. It's awesome. No, it's not awesome. It's horrible, and you'll end up having to recover virtual machines. So, keep an eye on that, snapshots, checkpoints, and the amount of disk space that they're actually using up. Another good thing to keep an eye on, of course, is latency. So disk latency and IOPS. Usually if somebody says, my VMs are slow, it's probably an IOPS issue somewhere, probably, maybe. So, being able to identify those hotspots is really useful. So how can I do that? And I said kind of, you know, the whole idea sort of with this was around that sort of visualization piece. So yeah, there's some interesting metrics, and well, that was kind of a cool demo and orchestrator. If it yeah, had actually gone through. Anyway, you saw it in the video. But it's a pretty decent demo on Orchestrator. So inside Ops Manager, you know, how can I sort of best visualize this thing? Now, remember I was talking about the free management pack for Hyper-V, so not the task manager thing, but the free V management pack for Hyper-V. There's a couple of wee, it's a bit, just little bits of heaven that live inside that management pack that you can use for not only the Hyper-V environment, but essentially for anything. And those are custom widgets created by Veeam that you guys can reuse. I'm going to introduce you to a couple of them. So first amongst them is what we call the traffic light widget. This is a Veeam widget. This isn't sort of native Ops Manager, but the traffic light widget. And what it lets me do is to create nice little dashboards like this, because what I wanted was a kind of a summary of all my virtual hosts. I don't care if it's VMware. I don't care if it's Hyper-V. Just going to give me a summary of everything together. So I can do this simply by adding in the Veeam traffic light widget. We'll call this is going to be Hyper-V CPU. I target that a particular group, so in this case it's going to be Hyper-V hosts, which are there. I specify the performance counter that I want to be displayed, which in this case is going to be logical processor, and yeah, I know where this is, so I'm just going to go for the total sort of percentage of runtime. Now, this information that's appearing inside this dashboard actually gets pulled from the data warehouse and not from the Ops Manager database, which is kind of an interesting sort of, you know, flow for that data path. What it'll do is add in the visualization, and it should appear inside that dashboard with the rest of the visualizations. And I can customize this. One of the nice things with those traffic lights is I can, you know, set the threshold for what's green and what's red. But it's just about getting that sort of nice visual way of seeing sort of things together and how things are sort of hanging together and getting that sort of view of the big picture. We'll let that load up. Refresh that, because we should see it for all the hosts. We'll just refresh the view. And I wait for the blue bar of awesomeness to finish what it's doing. Come on, blue bar of awesomeness. Yay, there we go. Sweet. Okay, so now I get that sort of, you know, single pane view. My VMware host, my Hyper-V host. I want an overview of CPU utilization. I want an overview of memory utilization across all my virtual hosts. I don't care what it is. And I want to be able to look at it and say, that's red, that's blue, that's green, and then take action based on that. And of course, everything is task-based, so I can, you know, sort of right-click and open up, you know, Health Explorer or another dashboard from there. All really straightforward. So another way, of course, to visualize our Hyper-V environment or VMware environment is by using service-level tracking objects. Love these guys, because I love that sort of, you know, it's the sort of thing you put up on the big screen when the boss walks past and he says, ooh, 100%. Well, I don't know what that means, but that looks kind of awesome. So what this lets me do is look at things like host availability, you know, memory utilization and processor utilization, in this case across my Hyper-V hosts, and get that sort of represented in a nice graphical way. Because what I don't really want to do is go through alerts and try and figure out what's good and what's bad, because I've got like 50 million of those suckers, right? I want something that tells me all is well. All is well. Go back to sleep. All is well. So service-level tracking objects give me a great way of doing that. Okay. So number 3, 4, and 5 we'll get through quite quickly, but this is number 3. And number 3 is really simple. Everybody shares the hot tub. A virtual environment, we're all in it together. Those VMs, man, they're all in there with shared storage and shared resources and shared memory and shared CPU. We all share the hot tub together. So you better hope, you know, nobody had the, you know, the vindaloo for their dinner last night. So that sort of context is key in sort of understanding how the pieces fit together in the hot tub or in the resource pool or in the, you know, on that particular CSV, cluster shared volume, is really important. So understanding resource sharing and overcommitment is vital. So we can see the number of, you know, VMs running per vCPU. We can pull that information out, look at memory, CPU utilization, and look at how those resources are being impacted by other virtual machines that live and share those same resources. let me step through and give you a couple of demos here. I'll sort of show you what I mean. So back into the lab environment. So one of the first things I want to know is, you know, if I get an alert and the alert says host is, so you know, it's host CPU has breached. Oh my God, I want to know why. Remember, context is everything. Why? Why did the host CPU get breached? Or why did my resource pool suddenly, you know, throw a hissy fit at me? Why? So I want to be able to understand that. So what I can do, for example, is use this kind of alerting, relational alerting or analysis alerting, we call it. So if I take a look at an alert that relates to a resource pool, if I can spell resource pool, I get some interesting information. And bear in mind, this comes to me via email as well, right? So I can look at my email and I can see, if I look at the description down at the bottom here, that resource pool infrastructure has reached a threshold by using blah, 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 blah. I faked the thresholds. They're all low, right? By using blah, blah, blah. But what this alert does is it tells me the virtual machines that are also in that resource pool and what their utilization is. So the resource pool's breached a threshold. Why? It's because those five VMs are like, I mean, that top VM's like configured to use 8 gig. I mean, does it really need 8 gig of RAM? But at least I've got an idea as to who the culprits might be and why that threshold got breached. So they're all sharing that resource pool as a hot tub, and now I know sort of how big they are inside that pool. The other tools that I can use to match that, and again, this is one of those new widgets that I was talking about that you can get your hands on. I love this. This is cool, right? As I can look at this concept of heat maps. That's pretty cool, right? I've done that demo and people have stood up and applauded when I put that heat map up, ladies and gentlemen. I guess it's 25 past five, we're almost at the end. But it's the ability to, and here I'm looking at VMware data stores. I'm seeing the size of the virtual machine based on size on disk, and I'm seeing what the disk latency is. So I can see the big VMs, and I can see the VMs that have the highest latency against that underlying data store. Now, I'm showing you this for VMware, but it applies for Hyper-V as well. So really, having these sort of visualizations is the way to sort of graphically, you know, at a glance, see what's going on and see how things are impacting each other inside the hot tub is really important. Now, when I was a wee boy growing up and I'd do something wrong and I sort of wished I hadn't done it, I'd go to my mum and I'd say, oh, mum, I wish I hadn't done that. And my mum always used to say to me, Charles, well, she wouldn't say it in that sort of deeper voice. Well, actually, no, she would have. But she'd say, Charles, oh, a crystal ball would be off your handy. That was the phrase. Oh, you don't have a crystal ball, son, it'd be off your handy. And a crystal ball is off your handy. That is not my mother, just in case you're curious. But a crystal ball is off your handy. So having the ability to do some sort of capacity planning and get a view to the future is really key as well. Now, one of the nice things that's in that FreeMP that I was talking about is another new widget that we've introduced, which is for capacity management. So I'm just going to show you one that I've built already, just for the sake of time, which is, you know, let's just go there, storage capacity forecasting, for argument's sake. And what this will do is insight, and I can do this for Hyper-V as well. I just happen to pick VMware just because I understand those results because I've done this before. But what this will do, when the blue bar of awesomeness finishes, what this will do is it will give me a timeline for when I'm going to run out of resource. When am I going to run out of storage? Is it, you know, within 90 days, 37 days? When am I going to need to start thinking about provisioning more storage for those data stores that I've got inside my VMware, my VM environment? And again, I mean, I'm doing this for VMware, but this will apply for Hyper-V as well. Yeah, there we go. So you can see, for example, you know, there's a data store there. I've got 23 days on that data store based on the current utilization and the growth of that data. I've got 23 days before that data store is going to run out of space based on the thresholds that I provided when I built the dashboard. Good to know. Then I don't get that surprise of, oh shit, we don't have any space. And now I've got to figure out, where am I going to put all these VMs? And you end up sort of storage vMotioning everything on a Friday night. Awesome way to start your weekend, right? This is a great way to sort of get some early visibility of that. Okay, and the last one, just to finish us off, knowledge is power. And I'm not going to demo this one. But essentially, anything that sort of puts information at your fingertips and said, remember, a management bag is all about injecting intelligence. So anything that puts information at your fingertips is powerful. So that management pack for Hyper-V is a built-in knowledge base. Ops Manager for different applications has a built-in knowledge base. And of course, you can extend that with your own company knowledge. And I would encourage you to do that when you're using Ops Manager, because knowledge truly is power. And I'm going to skip over the demo just for the sake of time. The sake of time as well, I am going to be kicking around. You can buy me a free beer, it's the best kind of beer, down in the hub, and we can have a chit-chat about any of these topics. But I just want to leave you with this, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, the most important thing really is context, but there are five things to remember, which was join the dots, dashboard, everybody shares the hot tub, have a crystal ball, and be like Yoda. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.